Hey, what is up, everybody? I'm Keshav, and welcome to another episode of the Creatives Podcast. And today we're going to talk about 18 things that I've learned in 2018. Roll intro. So last year, I did something. I did a video on my YouTube channel called 17 Things I've Learned in 2017. And, you know, I did that video as a reminder for myself to remind myself, of course, you know, to, remember the 17 things that I need to keep in mind for 2017. And obviously that strategy did not work for me. I thought I'd keep that in mind, but you know, I'm kind of moving in that direction. You know, like that's the point of me making these things, these lists, because you know, one, it might click for another person, and an idea might be repeated for another person who's probably into that, you know, that mindset. You know, if I say, hey man, like probably you should work hard this year, and he's hearing it on this podcast, or he or she's hearing it on this podcast, and he's probably hearing it in another media, or someone is telling him to do that. You know, like repetition, the more you repeat something, or you know, the more you repeatedly hear something, the more it ingrains in your brain, and after one point kind of clicks, and you'll start applying those things. So that is the point of me doing this thing. And man, I've got an 18 list, and today's podcast is going to be a little dark because the things that I've learned this year have made me go from the naive kid, not the kid. No, I'm not a kid. Maybe I'm a kid, who knows? Definitely have lost my naivete a lot more. I wouldn't say I've completely lost my naivete, but you know, I have lost quite a bit of my naivete, and I've learned more about myself, more about how other things work, more about how people work, more about how to get things done. And that's what I've learned this year. So this year has been, you know, a bit of a roller coaster ride for me. A lot of experimentation, a lot of trying new things, until I finally landed on the thing that I wanted at the end of this year. So it was in October. It was when I actually landed on the thing that I, you know, wanted. So let's get into the list. You know, enough blabbering and introduction. So number one thing, okay, this by the way is a no order of priority. I just wrote down the things that I've learned, so this is not like an order of priority. So I'm just gonna go ahead and say the number one thing. The number one stuff that I've learned for myself is our fantasy moves a lot faster than reality. So that's what I've learned, meaning, you know, we get into our heads, right? Like get into our heads to, like, you know, have these big goals, want to do these big things, and you know, I want to do this, I want to do that, and you're probably thinking about how you want to do them, and you're probably imagining how the process looks like, and you imagine everything out, and you just think about it in your head, inside your fantasy. It's your fantasy. But the thing is, reality works a lot different than fantasy. That's what I've learned. You know, you have in your head a fantasy of how things will happen and how things will go. But in reality, things are a lot different. You know, it's easier to build a castle in your head, but it's a lot harder to build a castle in real life, right? You know how to do things, but in reality, it's hard to take the first step. So that's what I've learned, to ground myself in reality and work myself, not work my way up through reality, you know, how to get things done. Like I had this idea of wanting to upload a YouTube video every single week, and I had this fantasy of how the quality of those videos will be. But in reality, what happened was I had to dial down a lot back on my quality to achieve that goal. And eventually, you know, me being engaged in the process of making a video every single week, the quality is slowly rising up, but definitely it's not going to be where I wanted it to be, as it was in my fantasy, right? So yeah, fantasy moves a lot faster than reality. So ground yourself in reality, use your fantasy as a guidance and, you know, just go with it. So two, it's the simple things that as a, okay, I'm murdering that. Two is, it's the simple things that doesn't appear too big are what that matters. Yeah, the simple stuff, the easy stuff, you know, the small things, you know, like all these tiny things. Oh my God, you know, I'm getting goosebumps right now. All the tiny things that we think are insignificant, doing those tiny things, not even tiny things, they are simple things, you know, it's simple, like, it's so damn simple. Those are the things that actually bring the results, not the complex plan that we make for ourselves. At least that's what I've learned in my experience. You know, I've made some pretty complex, detailed plans on how to achieve my goals in the past. But, you know, the things that actually worked is like the simple stuff. Like, hey, you know what? If you want to do something or if you want to achieve something, like work on it at least every single day. Make progress every day. You know, it sounds simple, right? It doesn't sound like a grand gesture. It doesn't sound like the movie Rocky, you know, where Sylvester Stallone is like training himself to that cool epic music beat in the background where he's going from zero to hero in like 1 3-minute song. Like, that is not going to happen in real life. You know, reality sounds boring. And you know, you just need to work on your day-to-day stuff. Like, hey, if you want to lose weight, you know, you can go bazooka crazy, hire a fitness trainer, you know, research all the greatest plan on planet Earth and, you know, get the diet down and get everything down and make that work. But which can work, by the way, but it's very, very hard if you don't work out, right, already. But, you know, the simple thing, you know, simple answer for that question would be to, like, you know what, eat healthy and work out on most days. It's as simple as that. Like, eat less than what your body burns and move your butt off. So that's simple, right? The simple stuff. So I've been looking for these tiny simple changes in my own life, and weirdly, you know, when I implement those changes, it makes a lot of difference. So you know, simple stuff, do the simple stuff. So three, consistency is king. So lately I've been on this diet plan, which is, I've hired a fitness coach and he's been making me dieting down. I've been like, you know, sort of in the limbo when it comes to my health and fitness. You know, I was working out, I was sort of eating healthy, I didn't know where to go from there, I didn't have any focus, I was getting fatter, which I did not expect. You know, I gained like over 20 pounds in the past couple of months, so that's like a lot of weight. You know, like over 10 kilos. And I realized that you know what, I probably need to get my ish together and work on, you know, getting my health and fitness on track again. So I had a personal trainer, and here's the thing that he told me. No, he's not the thing. I've actually hired him before, but we failed our training plan last time. And this time it's working out so well because I'm just focusing on one thing, which is like making sure I eat right today and work out today. And I'm sure I'm making sure I'm doing that every single day consistently. That's what matters. Just showing up, just focusing on doing the things that you're supposed to do, you know, whenever you have to do them to achieve the things that you want. You know, consistency is king. Like, you know, that's the mistake I made before. You know, I was consistent for a week in my previous training plan. Then I dropped the ball on eating properly, then I ate whatever I want to, then I gained weight, then it didn't, you know, we didn't get the results that we wanted. So, you know, you get the point. You just need to like make sure you show up, you hit 80% of the thing that you need to do today. You know, that's all you need to focus on. Like, today is the day, focus on today. Speaking of today, that's the next one. Fourth, number four is to focus on today, meaning if you have a goal, if you have some sort of a project, if you have something that needs to be done in the long haul, just focus on making progress today. Or if you're facing some sort of a problem, if you're facing this, if you're facing that, whatever it is, just focus on getting through the day, which is today. And I don't know where did I hear this quote? I think it was from the creator of Peanuts. Charles M. Schulz, yeah, Yeah, I think that's him. So he said, he said something. Okay, I'm paraphrasing this thing, but you know, like, I've given up on life and just I'm focusing on today, something like that. I think I'm completely misrepresenting the quote, but you know, he says something like that, like, focus on today, like, focus on what happens today. Okay, do you eat well today? Did you exercise today? Did you work out today? Did you work today? Did you meet your family today? Did you do this? Did you do this? Like, just what happens today is that all that matters, you know, like, just focus on today. So number five, which is something that I've learned from some young people who are younger than me, which is let it go and go with the flow. This is so weird for me. I'm not that old. I'm just 25, you know. I'm 25. I'm going to turn 25 this August, so I'm 24 and a half. But, you know, the thing when I asked this young kid, his name was Santosh, and I asked him, like, what is he going to do for the next year? You know, I told him, like, dude, you need some goals. You need to set some plan. Like, get your okay, we need to censor this part out tomorrow. Get your ish together, and you need to, you know, focus on stuff. And it is a good thing to have goals. I think you need goals. You need goals to know the direction in which you're going from, but also you need the capacity to let it go and just go with the flow, which is a weird thing for me, which I used to do in the past when I was a lot more, you know, open to things. But I know as I've gotten a bit more older, as you know, okay, I'm not that old, by the way, I'm just again 25. As I get older, I'm being closed off. You know, I'm being close to new things, and I'm being constantly reminded by people that I need to just sometimes, you know, like, let it loose, set up a plan, just put it aside and just go with the flow. Whatever happens, happens, right? You just make sure your intentions are right. You make sure you put in the work today, and everything that happens, you know, happens for the thing that you put in, like, for a reason, something like that. So yeah. Let it go and go with the flow, people. You know, it reminds me of the Frozen song. Let it go. Okay, I'm gonna stop. So number six, don't believe everything you think. Yes, this is a big one for me. As a guy who gets a lot of intrusive thoughts, as a guy who suffers from anxiety, this is very big for me. And I have learned that you are not your thoughts. You can be your thoughts if you want to, but you're not your thoughts. And it's still hard for me to, like, truly understand this idea in my gut. But, you know, your brain says the stuff like, you know, you're not this, you're not that. You can't do this. Are you sure about that? You probably need to rethink that. You know, like, you're going to doubt yourself. You know, it's all fear speaking. And what I've learned is, like, you know, sometimes you just are not what you think. You shouldn't believe everything you think. I used to think that I'm my own thoughts, but I'm not my own thoughts. You know, like, thoughts are things that, you know, come to you. You are what you act. That's what Jordan B. Peterson says, Dr. Jordan B. Peterson. So it's not like you are not what you believe, you are what you act. So that's what I've learned, you know, don't believe everything you think, and just make sure, like, go put all your thoughts under some sort of a little litmus test, you know, like, see if they are true for yourself. You know, sometimes it's true, sometimes it's not false. Sometimes you need to, like, you need to be self-aware enough to know whether you're lying to yourself or being honest with yourself. You know, you need to know that, but don't believe everything you think, man. Like, you know, you have a very medieval brain, not a medieval, very old brain, you know, which has evolved in, through the evolutionary process. You have a very primal brain, and that brain tends to, you know, throw some stuff at you, you know, some pretty crazy stuff at you, and you don't need to get shocked for those things, because, you know, it's your brain, it's your thoughts, just your thoughts, and you don't have to believe them. So number seven is, you are no special snowflake. This is a favorite one for me. You know what? I think weirdly, you know, like, I've been constantly hearing about, like, from people who I look up to, that, you know, we live in a generation where we are being told that we are special. You know, we are special snowflakes. We are meant to achieve everything that we want in our life and deserve the best, happiest, most awesomest ending that we possibly can, because we're special. And let me break the news to you, because this is what I've learned at least, is that you're no special snowflake. You're not a snowflake, you know? You're not special. You can be special if you work at it, but you're not just born special. Like, nobody's born special. Nobody's born with, you know, like, of course, there are some people who are born with very specific sets of talent, which, you know, usually puts them at an advantage. But man, this entitlement, I think that's the point behind this idea. This idea of entitlement that everybody has, including myself, you know, that I need to be this, I need to be that, I am this greatest thing. And the reality is much harder. You're not that different from that many people. You're not the black sheep. You're not this maverick genius who's so different from everybody that you are so above everybody. It's usually ego talking, you know. It really satisfies your ego. You're like, oh, I'm special. I'm the greatest. I'm the freaking maverick, right? Oh boy, you know, yeah, the thing is, you have to work, you have to deal with what you have, and you have to work at what you want, and that's all there is. You can be special to yourself, you know, that's what I learned. So, you know, people are snowflakes these days. You know, they get offended at everything, they're entitled, they think they deserve stuff, they think everything needs to be equal. When the reality is that everything isn't equal and everything shouldn't be equal, you know, you get what you deserve and you get what you work for. And sometimes, you know, life doesn't play a fair game. You don't get what you deserve. You don't get what you work for, and you have to deal with it, and you have to find another way. Instead of being entitled and complaining about the things that you want, which really annoys me these days. Jesus, God, it annoys me. Wow, it annoys me so bad. So yeah, anyways, number 8, anyone can't be anything. Oh, this is my favorite part. This is my favorite advice. Anyone can't be anything. What are you saying, Cash? Have you watched the movie Ratatouille? In that, Chef Gusteau says anyone can cook, anyone can do anything. Oh boy, this is just a bunch of bullcrap. The thing is, I'd like to start with the wise words of Casey Neistat, which is, you can have anything you want in life, but you cannot want anything you want in life. That is one of the most profound quotes I've ever heard. You can have anything that you want in life, but you cannot want, like, truly have the passion, truly have the want for anything you want. You can only want what you want, which is weird, which is awesome, by the way. And that is a big learning lesson for me. Anyone can't be anything. No, you can't be anything you want. You can be only self-aware of who you truly are, and accept that and be the best at who you are. Da Vinci said that, you know, the greatest mastery of all is the mastery of oneself. And that is important. And this might sound depressing for a lot of people at first, because, you know, they want to be something that they're not, you know, like, you know, no matter how hard I try, I cannot be the world's greatest bodybuilder. Like, really, I don't have what it takes. I don't have the genetics. I don't think I have the passion, at least, you know. Definitely not the genetics, trust me. I've been working out for 5 years and I still don't look like I work out. So, you know, I don't have the genetics for being the world's greatest bodybuilder and being better than Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, I don't think I'll be the greatest artist of all time. I don't think I'll be the greatest filmmaker of all time, but I know is I can be the greatest myself that I can be. And that's a weird place to be, and knowing, this is very hard at first. Again, this is very hard to digest, and this is going to be very, you know, hard to listen to. But once you stop trying to put, you know, trying to achieve the things that you want to achieve for the sake of pleasing other people, once you stop that, you will start to know more about yourself and what you truly want. You know, I actually once wanted to be a director like Steven Spielberg, because, you know, it was very gratifying for my ego. Like, you know, oh, everybody will know my name. I'll be a rich person. I'll do this, I'll do that. And, you know, like, that's one of the reasons I got into filmmaking. I liked making films, but I also, you know, wanted to be a great director, you know, like, so that everybody will know my name. And that's not exactly a great place to start with. And that definitely will not provide you the motivation to get where you want to be. Steven Spielberg didn't start out to, you know, be the greatest director of all times. He started out because he had the passion for making films. He started out because he loved making and watching films. And he worked at his craft, he worked at his passion, and he turned out to be, you know, great. And that's how it works. You can be only who you want. And, you know, I would highly recommend that you watch the movie Ratatouille. You know, that's a great movie of acceptance and, discovery. Because in that movie, the young guy, right, the main character, you know, wants to be a cook. But he's only a good waiter. And he's a good one. But the rat, on the other hand, he is a cook. He's an inborn cook. And he discovers his passion and he accepts himself and he just goes out and becomes the cook he wants to be. You know, Remy. Yeah, Remy is the name of the rat. And in the end, that critic ego. So in the end of the movie, for those who haven't watched the movie, Ratatouille is about a movie where a rat becomes a cook. And it uses a human being, as his puppet to mask. This is a weird story. Sounds weird if I say it like this, but it's a good story. But in that movie, the critic says, you know, after realizing that the rat is actually the cook who's been controlling the human, but the human has been, getting all the praise and the credit for the rat's talent. And he says that I'm not sure about that. The fact that anyone can cook. But a great cook can come from anywhere. So that's like a beautiful thing. So the thing is, you have to accept yourself, know who you are, know who you truly are. What are you good at? What are your strengths? You know, you need to figure those things out. Instead of trying to be something that you're bad at, you know, why don't you just focus on the strengths that you have and develop them? Because weirdly, once we start developing our strengths, it's where our passion, you know, forms. So passion is not something that's inborn. Passion is something that's you develop by being or getting good at something or getting, achieving progress is something that you're interested in. So that's how you develop passion. So yeah, anyone can be anything. You can be only who you are, the better version of it. So yep, that's number 8. Number 9, the thing is, which I've learned, is exercise, eat well, and sleep well. Because those things are important. Again, coming back to the basics of being a good, healthy person, which is something that I'm striving to do. Because, you know, if I'm healthy, you know, my art will be healthy. I'll be able to make more work. I'm more energized. I'm more focused. I'm able to do this. You know, like, you know, if you're healthy, you need to take care of yourself. Like, self-care is important. Exercising, I found that, you know, if I exercise on a particular day, I feel really good. You know, my health is a lot better. Okay, that's not something that's easily measurable on a day-to-day basis, but I feel good. You know, if I eat well that day, you know, I feel good. If I sleep well that day, I feel good. So, you know, do these things. I keep hitting on these things because it's very important. I've heard that exercise is probably, you know, if exercise was actually a pill, like a medical pill, if it was a medicinal pharmaceutical pill, it will be the world's costliest drug, because the benefits you can get from like an hour session of exercise is so tremendous and so great that this is probably better than an antidepressant or something, you know, something like that. So You know, move well. Like if you're set a goal for your, if you have set a goal to lose weight next year, I would suggest that you start small, build, which is to like, you know, get up in the morning, do some 5 minutes of light movement, like do that for a week. Then for the next week, you do 10 minutes and the next week you'll do 15. Then you each and every single week, you increase by 5 minutes. And within the first 1.5 months, you'll be like working out every day for half an hour. That's a lot. That's more than the recommended daily amount of exercise from some, I don't know, some national guidelines of the amount of exercise you need to get per day or something. So that's a lot of exercise. Trust me. Start small. Have patience and build, especially if you have not exercised before. So yeah, and also eat well. Like, don't eat processed sugar. Eat a lot of plants and vegetables. Eat lots of fruits. You know, if you're vegetarian, great. If you're vegan, great. If you eat meat, cool. Like, eat good quality meat, you know, instead of the highly hormonized ones. You know, like, just get good wholesome foods and eat them and put them in your mouth. That's as simple as that. And get to bed early. You know, early to bed. What was that saying? Early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. That, oh boy, I've realized that is so true in my life. Like, the earlier I get to bed, the earlier I rise, the better I feel, the better the work gets done. You know, it's so damn simple. Like, go to bed early. These things are simple. Like, you know, coming back to point number two, it's the simple things. You don't need to complicate stuff. You just need to focus on a couple of simple things, man. You know, this was also on my list last year. You know, 17 things I learned in 2017. You know, focusing on simple stuff. That's what matters. And number 10, routines ground yourself. Have a routine. Have some sort of a structure throughout your day, throughout your week, throughout a month or life or whatever that works for you. Some sort of a routine really helps. Once I started to make a video every single Monday, I feel a lot better because I have something to look forward to. I have some sort of a routine that grounds my day. It's not all chaotic. It's not my week is chaotic. I have some sort of a structure. And also, I do some routines on a daily basis, which is I meditate, I exercise, I draw, I work. You know, all these things keep me, you know, sane, keeps me more, less neurotic. You know, I'm a very neurotic, anxious person. So, you know, all these things keeps me sane and keeps me so simple. So, routines are important. You know, you need to know what you want because life is very chaotic. You need to bring some order into your life. So, routines are important. Number 11, organize yourself. Oh boy, this is so important for me. For the past 2 months or something, I have gotten a journal. I have gotten a bullet journal in which I plan my week. I plan my month. In the start of every month, I draw a calendar and block out all the things that needs to be get done, you know, that month. And at the start of every week, I put out a weekly schedule of what I want to get done that week, like 3 to 5 things. I don't always achieve all three or five things, but I achieve at least the top priority 1, 2, 2 things, or 1 or 2, 3 things. Sometimes achieve all of them. The thing is being, you know, intentional about your week, intentional about your day, how you want to, you know, proceed them. Because, you know, again, by the way, all these things are like my advices, the advices that I would give for myself because, you know, I'm very unorganized. Like, people call me very orderly for some reason. My cousins call me orderly. That is crazy. I am orderly, but, you know, I'm orderly because I have a lot of chaos in my life. You know, my order seems a lot bigger because my chaos that I'm dealing with is a lot bigger than, you know, like at least a usual person. So that's why I'm very... or at least I'm trying to be organized. So yeah, number 12, focus on few things instead of everything. Speaking of point number two, which is the simple things, this applies the same thing, which is to, instead of trying to focus on everything, I'm just going to focus on a couple of things. That's the idea here. So what I've done is, for the goals that I've set for this year, is that I am going to just do 3 things every day to make my days better. And these things might sound so dumb and so stupid, but I'm just gonna say them anyway. One is to go to bed early. Yeah, that's my New Year's resolution, to go to bed early by 10 o'clock. And two, to exercise every day. Again, speaking of exercise and how important it is, right? And number three is to meditate. So these are the three things that I'm going to do every single day for the rest of 2019. I'm just going to focus on these things. Three things. I know it sounds simple, but trust me, I'll be like up in 3 months and I'll be like, thank goodness I follow these things, because these things are the keystone habits that probably move my life, right? So yeah, focus on a few things instead of everything. And also another thing that I'm doing is called 52 weeks and 52 changes. So I got hold of this book called 52 changes, in which you make a tiny little habit change every single week. You focus on one tiny habit, like super tiny habit, super simple habit, every week. And this week I'm working on doing a push-up and a pull-up and a squat every single morning, right? Like after I'm done with my morning meditation, so what I do is I do a push-up and a pull-up and a squat. Sometimes I do more than one push-up, sometimes I do more than one pull-up. But you know, if I do that every day, if I do two pull-ups a day, if I do three pull-ups a day, I would have done 1,000 more pull-ups this year. So that's how it works. You know, all these tiny little things aggregate up, they compound and they just give you massive, massive results. So that's what I'm doing this year. I'm looking for these tiny areas of improvement where I can improve upon, and improving those things. Because I'll tell you something, what I've learned from like the past years and everything is that the big results that you're seeking for lies in these tiny little routines and behaviors and rituals that you're probably not doing. It's easy to do them, but it's also easy not to do them. So what I'm doing is I'm just making them easy to do them. So yeah. So number 13, right? I think it's 13. Yes, number 13 is you do you. You focus on yourself. Don't compare yourself. That's the point behind this thing, which is trying to compare yourself to other people is probably very unfair, because, you know, the other people will do things. There are other people are in situations that you're probably not in. And all those tiny little things add up to give big results. And it's very, very, very unreasonable of you to compare yourself to other person. And this is very hard for me to grasp, but I've lost the habit of comparing myself to other people in terms of my art. But you know, in terms of life, I sometimes get myself caught up in the comparison loop. So I would suggest you don't compare yourself to other people, and just focus on comparing yourself to who you were yesterday, and focus on being at least 1% better today. Like, again, compound effect. Man, I sound like an old man, trust me. But the thing is, all these things add up. All these things are so true. All these things are tried and tested. This is what people say. Just focus on trying to be better than yesterday today. You know, that's what Jake Parker says a lot. And, you know, he's 40 years old. And I trust that man, because he has a lot of experience. You know, of all these years, of all the things that you've learned, that he has learned, you know, over his lifetime. And he comes out and says, you know what, man, that's not much to it. Just focus on being 1% today than yesterday. That is simple. That is easy. But people don't do it. People are looking for the Rocky transformation. You know, the Rocky style transformation. They want to go from hero to zero. No, zero to hero in one song. Oh, that's not gonna happen, man. That's not gonna happen. So number 15 is family is important. Varun, know the point. Family is important. What I've learned these years is like, you know, being in a family, you know, your mom, your dad, your cousins, your brothers, your sisters, they're all important. I was so focused on work the past few years, and it's very normal for young people to get absorbed in work. I think it's number 14. 14, sorry. Sorry, it's 14. This is 14, not 15. 14. So yeah, I've been very absorbed in the past few years, and I used to get baffled at people, you know, when they say that, you know, when I go to these Twitter profiles of all these people I look up to, like Gary Vaynerchuk, you know, Jake Parker, you know, like all these people, and they say family comes first, then comes work. And which was weird for me because I've always put work in front of family. Right? And I've lately realized the importance of family, because all the things that you do doesn't matter if you don't have your family straightened out, you know, if you don't have your family together. Because, you know, like, there's lots of lonely people at the top of the mountain who don't have people to share their successes with, which is weird. And I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to end up that guy. You know, I've heard this quote saying, I heard some famous musician or something, they said something like, I would rather burn out than fade out, which means I would rather work on, you know, like working myself to the maximum, fullest possible extension, and then fade out. And that is weird. And I heard some other writer come out and gave a counterpoint for that, which they said, which was very, very fascinating for me. And they said, I would rather... what was that? Wait. Let me get that into my head. Yeah, it's... I would rather fade out than burn out and see my grandchildren. And that was profound. You know, like, I would rather fade out than burn out and see my grandchildren. Like, live a long life and see people for whom you worked so hard for, right? You know, that's weird. You know, family is important. Family is important, man. Family is important. You know, if you want to know the importance of family, there's a film franchise which highly, you know, emphasizes on this point, which is the Fast and Furious franchise, in which Dominic Toretto is all about the family. And, you know, go and watch that film series. You know, weirdly, you can learn some family values. Anyways, yeah, on to the next point, which is number 17. Or which point is it? Number 15? Number 15. All your problems are imaginative. Well, what is that? What does that mean, Keisha? Well, some things that I've realized, you know, another thing that I've realized is I don't have any problems, which is crazy. Trust me. Look at me. I'm a 24-year-old kid in the 21st century, born in the greatest time of all times, possibly, in terms of opportunity. Because we have the internet where people can follow their passion and pursue the things that you want and not complain about it. And they live peacefully and securely under a roof, and food is being served to them. And they have guards who protect the borders so that, you know, some enemies and terrorists won't come and attack you at the random of the day or the night. And I have nothing to complain about. I'm way better than my great, 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 great grandparents who are probably worrying about whether, you know, they'll have a normal delivery of their child, or will they have a child which doesn't kill their mother in the delivery process, or hopefully they don't, you know, catch some uncurable disease which is easily curable in the day and age that we are living. You know, all the problems that we have are imaginative. They lose their ground if you put them in perspective, which is so good. So that's the address to it, man. Like, all your problems are imaginative, at least most of them, or all of these things are overcomable, or at least most of them. I'm not saying look if you're a war veteran, you lose your hand in the battle, I'm not saying it's an imaginative problem. Right? It's not imaginative. It's some serious stuff. You know, you need to deal with it, and you need to grieve. You know, you've lost a part of yourself. But, you know, those things can be overcome. I mean, what I'm trying to say is trying to look at things in a brighter light, which is very hard to do, but easier to say. You know, try to look at the half glass full, right? So that's what there is to this point. Your problems, at least most of your problems, are imaginative. They're just in your head. Like, my parents don't allow me to do the things that I want to. I cannot achieve my goals this year. Like, yada, yada, yada. Are you kidding me? You got the world's greatest opportunities in this year, and you're complaining about what? your mommy and daddy? Jesus, stop it. So yeah, next one, which is number 16. Pain is not your enemy, it makes you grow. Which is something that I've learned this year, which is when I was working out with a trainer, you know, they used to push me and push me so hard. And whenever I, you know, feel some sort of pain, I stop. And he told me, Keshav, you give up too fast. And he was probably right. He was probably right, because I do give up too fast sometimes. And I've went on the path that life should be easy all the time, that, you know, I've forgotten that I need to sometimes, you know, put myself in uncomfortable situations to grow myself. So pain is something that's very important. I heard in an interview where a speaker was talking about this. And the speaker said he spoke to a psychologist, and he said that, you know, that the ripe age of 15 to 21, the early age, is very important, because you learn things way quickly, you know, during that age. And after 25, you're pretty much set for life. And this speaker was like shocked to, you know, he asked the psychologist, and he was like, wait, so you're saying people who are above 25 have no chance at growing themselves and changing themselves? And he was like, no. I did not say that. Yes, they're set for life, but the thing is, they can change. And the change by trauma. And that struck me. And that is so true. If you want to grow bigger muscles, if you want to get bigger muscles, you know, lose fat and build muscle this year, you need to go through the pain of working out. And you need to feel the pain little by little. Like, you don't have to feel so much pain that you kill yourself. You know, you just don't, you just bite off. Just don't bite off more than you can chew. Just bite off as much as you can chew, and just focus on that. Feel the pain a bit by bit, because it makes you stronger. You know, because you're no special snowflake, and one way to not being a snowflake is learning to address the pain that's in yourself and that's outside yourself, and, you know, stuff like that. So boy, what point are we in? We're at number 17. Face your fear and feel your anxiety. There's something so magical about facing your fear and discomfort. Let me tell you a story. I'm not that great. I used to be a very socially awkward person, meaning I used to be very awkward when I go into social situations to talk to people. I avoid people, you know? And one thing that I've learned from Dr. Jordan B. Peterson, you know, again, is a big inspiration on me, is that if you have something that you're afraid of, if you voluntarily, forthrightly go and expose yourself to that fear, to that thing that you're scared of, and feel the fear, feel the anxiety, feel the pain, the fear will go away. And that's how you do it. You need to voluntarily do that. You're not accidentally doing that. You need to voluntarily go forth, go out of your way to face your fear. And that's what I did yesterday. There was this person outside who was standing, and I didn't want to talk to him, you know, because I didn't have the time to make chit chat and everything. So I was just, I felt a bit socially, you know, uncomfortable. And I was like, man, you know what? I told myself that I'll face my fear and seek discomfort a little by little, a bit by bit every day. And I told myself that, okay, and I went ahead and spoke to him. I just spoke to him, like, I just asked him, how was he doing? How was his day? He told me he had some problems the other day, and I told him, has it been resolved? And he told me everything has been resolved, everything has been going well. Then we spoke for like 5 minutes, and it was a great conversation. And the discomfort went away, the fear went away. So, yeah, face your fear, face your discomfort, face your stuff voluntarily. If you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling depressed, if you're feeling sad, just note them, point them out, feel them, and let them go. They'll go by themselves. You don't need to push them away. So last point, number 18, this is a big lesson for me. This is probably one of the most important lessons that I've learned this year. And this has been put into my head repeatedly through movies and through lectures and through YouTube videos by people who I look up to. And this is very weird. This is pretty controversial, because, you know, like, people will take it in a different light. And that is faith. Yeah, faith. You know, faith, this can be in terms of anything. You know, if you're a religious person, it can be the religion you have the faith in. If you're a non-religious person, having a person having the faith in yourself, or having the faith in something that you care about or someone who you care about. Because man, oh man, I've realized that you cannot move forward without faith. Because faith lies in everything. Jeez, man. The thing is, I'm a very controlling person. Because thing is, I need to know what's happening everything, you know, at every time, everywhere, by everyone. You know, at least in my circle of life. And I hate to be uncertain. And if I'm uncertain about things, I get very anxious and I get very scared. And what I've learned is that learning to let go and trust that, you know, hopefully things go right. Because you never know things will go right. Like most people my age will have the fear of whether they will be successful in their life or something. That's like a big fear. That used to be my fear like a couple of years back. I don't have that fear anymore. Like whether I'll be successful or not. Whether I'll make it. Whether I'll have a good life or not. And the thing is, you'll never know. You're not going to know. The certainty is not going to be there. You will never know for certain. Who knows? Tomorrow you might be hit by a car and die. That sounds pessimistic. But, you know, it's a possibility. By the way, I'm not wishing you. I hope you have the best of best health in the world. And, you know, achieve all the things you want. But the thing is, you know, you never know what happens. You never know what happens. And part of life is learning to live with that uncertainty. Uncertainty of not knowing what's going to happen. And that's the first part. And this is the second part, which I learned from watching Spider-Man movies, which is having the faith, taking the leap of faith, because faith is a leap. You'll never know whether you land on a haystack. You know, like in that game Assassin's Creed, you know, the assassin usually jumps out from like a 200 feet building. He just jumps and lands on a haystack all the time, every single time. This is crazy. But the move in the game is called the leap of faith. And that's what faith is all about. Faith is a leap. Faith comes first. Certainty comes next. You need to have the faith first that something is going to happen. Then the certainty may or may not come next. You know, so that's how it works. And I was watching Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which, by the way, was an amazing, amazing movie. And the whole movie was based on this core principle. Having faith in yourself. And it's beautiful movie, which was executed well. The animation quality was amazing. But, you know, at the end of it, I don't want to make spoilers. I don't want to, you know, like, give out any crucial moments of the movie. But the thing is, the character, Miles, he doesn't have faith in himself. And boy, oh boy, that movie talks about the leap of what faith is. You don't know what things are going to happen. You don't know when things are going to happen. You don't know if things are going to happen. But you do them anyway. And hope. And have faith that it happens. Have faith in the process. And again, it's not even hope. And Jim Carrey said that hope, he doesn't believe in hope. He believes in faith. Because hope is a beggar. And I'm quoting him right here. Hope is a beggar. Hope walks over fire and faith leaps over it. Or hope walks through fire and faith leaps over it. So something like that. So which is amazing, you know. So that's what faith is. Have faith in yourself. Either have faith in something other than yourself if you don't have the capability to have faith in yourself. Or have faith in yourself. Having faith in yourself is very hard. You know, it comes with a lot of self-doubt and uncertainty, but have faith, man. Like, have faith. And how do you have faith? You practice it. You practice it. And you'll never know when you'll have faith. That's the part about faith. So, yeah. And those are the 18 things. I had a couple of more things that I wanted to talk, which is like push yourself, be a little better every day. So, I think I've covered that. So, these are the 18 things that I've learned, or I'm going to say that these are the 18 things that I'm learning this year. 18 things I'm learning, or I've learned, or I've kept learning in 2018. So, hopefully, you found a one or two of the things that you find, you know, in this list useful. And you can maybe incorporate that into your own life, or keep these things in mind and keep repeating them. And maybe at one point it'll click for you and you'll start acting. And that's how it works. You need to, you know, all these mindset changes, you need to keep pressure on them. You need to constantly apply them, or constantly think about them, constantly do them. And until one point it'll click and you'll be moving forward. That's how it works. So yeah, that's pretty much it for this last episode of 2018. We've literally done two episodes. But I'm so happy. I'm hearing a lot of good reviews about the podcast. I'm thankful for that. And yeah, man. Thank you so much for listening or watching, if you're watching this on YouTube. I will see you guys next year. Bye-bye. Roll outro.